Welcome, everybody, to Our Life in the Trinity. I am Linda Rex, and I'm happy to have you with me today. We're going to begin with a word of prayer, talk about our topic today, read some scripture, and we will have communion at the end if you would like to prepare ahead with your wine or grape juice and your bread. So I'd love to have you join me, and we'll close with a benediction at the end. That's kind of how we do things. Let's begin now with prayer. Father, we're thankful we can be here together today. Thank you that in Christ we can come before you freely, openly, and you welcome us as your children. And Lord, today by your Spirit, we ask you to speak to our hearts and minds and awaken us to the reality that we are accepted, we are beloved, we are forgiven through Jesus our Lord. Amen. Now, whether we like it or not, we live in this culture that can be rather condemning. In fact, even our Christian culture can be very condemning and judgmental. We don't always realize how much we judge and condemn. Now, being discerning is one thing, but when it results in you saying how what that person deserves or doesn't deserve, and so on, then we slide on into that place of condemnation and judgment. In fact, I know for myself, so often the little voice in my head that I'm telling myself is very judgmental and condemning of myself, and it slips out in how I think about and talk about even other people, and I do it without noticing it. Sometimes I'm talking to one of my kids, and I'll be saying some comment, and they'll be like, "Mom," and they recognize that in that moment I have done that very thing. I have judged someone or condemned someone in an unhealthy way, and it's so easy for us to do that. And we think about our culture. Think about, for example, standing in the grocery line, and looking at all the tabloids, and I try not to look, but sometimes I can't help myself. And it's just like there is nothing kind there. I mean, it is the things that they accuse people of, or condemn people for, or criticize. On the one hand, they want you to adopt those ways of living and being, but on the other hand, the minute you do it, you are in the doghouse. You are weird. You are, the news for everybody to look at and condemn. And so, whether we like it or not, this kind of frame of mind is something we adopt, and we get it from the evil one, really. We tend to listen to him because, he's the one who is the accuser of the brethren. He is the one who is trying to make sure we know how awful we are. And, the thing is, we need to see ourselves from God's point of view. What is God's point of view about us? And what's his view about condemnation? What does it mean for us when it comes to things like God's judgment and so on? So our passage today in the New Testament is Romans 8, 1 to 11. I love how it starts out, because here in Romans 1 through 7, the Apostle Paul has been talking about how, every one of us stands guilty before God. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, right? And the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is, of course, eternal life. But here in he just comes to the reality that we got this wrestling match going on, and now that we've come to Christ, Christ lives in us by the Holy Spirit, but we still got this thing going on. And he says in Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation. God knows our frame. So we're going to talk about that today. But he is very frank about the human condition. So we need to pay attention to the human condition and the fact that we do often make the wrong choices, right? And so we got to deal with the reality of our human way of being, that our human person is both in Christ and in this world. And we've got this thing going on that we need to pay attention to. So he says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. That is the truth of our being, is we are set free from the law of sin and death. He says, for God has done what the law weakened by the flesh could not do. So no matter how hard we try to keep the law, it's not going to change us. The only thing that changes us is Jesus Christ. Christ's life in us by the Holy Spirit. God did all that, you know. So he says, for God has done what the law weakened by the flesh could not do, by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And to deal with sin, he condemns sin in the flesh, so that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their mind on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their mind on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit that dwells in you. Notice the key here is what? God comes to dwell in man by his Holy Spirit. And as that life, we enter into that life, there becomes this new way of living and frees us from our slavery to our old way of being, right? So, but the good news is, you see, God knows what we are. God knows what we are. He knows our frame. He knows apart from Christ, evil holds us hostage. Remember Jesus talking to Nicodemus, tells him, no one can see the kingdom of heaven unless he's what? Born again. Born from above. Born from above. So apart from being born from above by God's Spirit, we as human beings have no hope of living in right relationship with God or each other. And God knows this. You know, who is it? I'm drawing a blank right now, but that church father who said that God, knowing, was it Athanasius, said, you know, God being good, he couldn't watch us go back into destruction, into the nothingness out of which we had been made. He couldn't sit aside and watch that happen. He knew even before he had made us what we were capable of and what might happen. And what probably would happen. And it did. And so this is why Jesus came. Apart from Jesus, evil holds us hostage. We are bound by sin and death. God knows our frame. He knows us to the core of our being. He sees us the way we really are. You know, we read in Psalm 139 how God knows when we rise, when we sleep, before we say a word, he knows what we're going to say. He just knows us really, really well. And yet he loves us. That's hard to get our mind around, but it's true. He knows our frame and he does not condemn us. What he does is he offers us grace. He offers us new life. He comes as the Word of God, the Son of God, into our flesh, takes on our flesh, lives the life we need to live, dies our death, and gives us his spirit in the resurrection, gives us his spirit so that we can be in right relationship with God. He gives us grace. He gives us new life. He gives us hope. He doesn't condemn us. You know, it is what Jesus did that sets us free from accusation, condemnation, and guilt. You know, I remember, it just always comes back, this story in the New Testament Gospels, of where, you know, Jesus is brought this woman caught in the act of adultery. And after all her accusers are gone, he says, where are they all? And she says, they're all gone, you know. And he says, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Now notice two things there. There is no condemnation. Jesus was offering himself in her stead. You realize that the price for her freedom from guilt and shame was Jesus on the cross. But he offered her no condemnation. At the same time, he said, go and sin no more. He said, now, it's wiped. You know, you're new. Go live in the truth of who you are. Who are you? You are God's child. You are mine. I have bought you with a price. Go and sin no more. And so there's a new life that comes out of that no condemnation, right? So we want to keep that in mind as we look at this thing of no condemnation. So we have this way of being that we have adopted as those who listen to the evil one, which is very self-centered, self-willed, self-absorbed. It's our desires that matter, our will that matters, our purposes are, you know, we kind of, the self gets in the middle. And when we're in that place, how can we possibly live in the truth of who we are as God's children? Because see, God's children are made in his image, and God is the God, Father, Son, Spirit, who is other-centered, self-giving love. That's the image we were created to live in. And how can we possibly live in that way when our self is in the center? And that is why Jesus had to come to move us from that self-centered way into the Christ-centered way, God-centered way of living and being that we were created for. And so we find that our focus needs to be moved from the self as the center to Christ as the center, to where we live like our triune God, Father, Son, Spirit, three persons in one being, equal yet distinct, and one, united, one, union and communion is what they live in. They live in other-centered, self-giving ways. We see that demonstrated in what Jesus does in coming to live our life, die or death, and rise again, and give us the Spirit. So Paul says, we're to live according to the Spirit, not according to the flesh. We are to be who we are, to be the truth of who we are as God's children. We start to look like Christ, who is the Son of the Father in the Spirit. We begin to look like that instead of our self-centered, self-willed way of being. And that is our challenge. We find that our world and our desires as a human being pull us into the old way where self is the center. We keep sliding back there. We want to do things on our own terms. That's a real challenge to surrender everything to Christ and to say, okay, God, it's your way, not my way. Especially when we have one of those temperaments where it's my way or the highway, that makes it even harder. So it's like, how do we do this? How do we do? Well, the thing is it's Christ in us by the Holy Spirit. The thing is we forget sometimes that the consequences of living a self-centered life, a life that's focused on self, the consequences will eventually show up. Maybe some of us get along without it ever showing up in this life. I suppose that's possible. But eventually they show up. How do we cope with that? I mean, do we end up, taking our life? I mean, that seems like a selfish way of doing it. Do we end up, I mean, there's so many ways where we just keep burying it even further, keeping the self at the center. But there's this thing that Jesus has done for us. What he's done is set us free from that endless circle of self-absorption, self-centered, self-will, self-desire, self. He set us free from that. He took us from the kingdom of darkness, where that is located, and put us in the kingdom of light. He gave us new life. Will we live our life his way instead of our way? And that's where we run into the challenge. We like to accept Jesus as our savior. We like to have him save us from the consequences of our problems. But are we willing at the same time to let him tell us what it means to be human, what it means to be God's child, what it means to live on this life and have life, real life? What is life? That's a challenge. What is our response to all that? Satan's response to our mess and our world, the way that we're, the things we do or don't do, and even when we're trying to get it right, what is his response? Well, he's the accuser of our brethren, as I said earlier. And when you start feeling accused and condemned, pay attention, because it's not God, it's not Jesus. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Christ has come. Christ has lived our life. He has died our death. He has risen. He has given us his life in the Holy Spirit. Accusation, condemnation, that's an evil voice. We want to listen instead to God's response. God's response of grace. God's response, no condemnation. There is forgiveness, there is grace, there is mercy. God does not accuse, he will convict. He's going to call reality what it is. He's going to tell you what needs to change, but he will never do it in a tone that is condemning. It will be in a tone of loving, caring, compassionate concern. He loves you too much to leave you in that space, right? He wants you to know the joy of right relationship with him through his Son and the Spirit. He wants you to know what it's like to live joyfully, peacefully, hopefully, happily in his kingdom life. So he does not accuse or condemn, but he does invite us to go deeper into his embrace and to live in healthier, other-centered ways. Nah, are we willing to go there with him? That's a challenge sometimes. God wants us to live in the truth of who we are as his children. He loves us. He wants what's best for us. He has shown us in Christ what it means to live in right relationship with the Father and the Spirit. He has given us his presence in us and with us by his Spirit to enable us to do that. And he's included us in his life and love. How great is that? So, good questions. What might your life look like if you chose to be guided by God's Spirit and God's Word rather than by our human flesh? How would your life be different? What would it look like? How would it be different? And what would your response be if you knew God does not condemn you, does not accuse you, but invites you into loving relationship with himself, who has done everything needed for you to be held in his love and life, now and forever? He's already taken care of it in Christ and given you his Spirit. It's theirs for you to receive as a gift. You know, we can hold our hands this way, or we can turn them and receive, right? We can receive with open hands. Sometimes we got to dump out what's in our hands so we can receive, right? So we receive what God has already given us through Christ and the Spirit. He's given us forgiveness. He's given us acceptance. He's given us new life. And he just wants us to live it out. To live it out because, you know, God's kingdom in Christ is present through the Spirit. And one day it's going to come in fullness when Jesus returns in glory. And if you're already living in that kingdom life now, there's not going to be much of a transition except that you'll be glorified. That'll be cool. But anyway, why not enjoy it now? Why not learn what it means to live in right relationship with God and one another? Start growing up into the fullness of God's child. Allow Christ to live his life in and through you by the Holy Spirit. Begin to participate in what God's doing in this world. And he's got a lot that he's trying to do, and you can be a part of it. So one of the things we like to do every week is take communion together, because it reminds us of what Christ has done and how we are a part of that. We're included in that. We died with Christ. We rose with Christ. We share in his glory both now by his Spirit and forever. We get to be a part of what God's doing because of Christ. And we celebrate with the bread and the wine or grape juice, because these are reminders that Jesus' body was broken for us, his blood shed for us. He went all the way for us. And how little it is that we could do for him, right? Yeah. So let us pray. Thank you, Jesus, for offering yourself in our place on our behalf, and now by your Spirit coming to live in us so that we can live in right relationship with Father in the Spirit. Thank you for all the gifts you have given. In your name we pray. Amen. So we receive Jesus' broken body, his shed blood, his life for our life. Thank you, Jesus. The cup of the covenant. Thank you, Jesus. Now may the Spirit of the Father who raised Jesus from the dead and who lives in you dwell in you richly, immerse you in his living streams through Jesus our Lord. Amen. God bless you. I hope you have a good week. And we'll see you again here on Our Life in Eternity. Come visit our blog site at lifeinthetrinity.blog. Or make sure you subscribe to this YouTube channel. Take care.